T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that. Kyrie Irving. I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI. That, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell, because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
And I think one thing.
Exactly. So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick. Kyrie Irving. You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I like the new open there, Nick. Good job. Very nice. Little classic who? Who's coming into Fenway Park, I believe, next month? Coming up. I'm here with you. My name is Mark with the C. James, as you heard in that eloquent open there. I'm here with you until 4 o'clock, just a less than a three-hour show. But I'll be polarizing you, the masses, simultaneously, I'm sure. So we will get to a lot of things. First and foremost, let me just say this. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but this is my 7th day in a row working. And I'd like to think that there's a little Cal Ripken in me. That, you know, not one LeBron, not two, not three, not four, not five, not even six. 7 straight days on the air. This is true. Monday through Sunday. And here I am again today with you. And it's great to be here with you. I mean, not that I would want to enjoy the upper 80s sunny weather, be frolicking on a beach like Nauset Beach or somewhere in the Vineyard or Nantucket. No, I want to be here with you. And I'm glad, for those of you listening, you want to be here with me. So let's start with this. Baseball. I'm going to get to the Red Sox, because the Red Sox, they took it on the chin last night to the Dodgers. So they're still hovering around. They're, you know, just on the outside looking in of the second wild card spot in the American League, behind the Rays and Indians and all. Like, so they're right there with the Rangers. We'll get to the Red Sox. But I heard Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe talking about recognizable athletes in who sort of is a household name in baseball. And I mentioned this earlier in the week when Reamer and I were on the now defunct Mutt Callahan show, one of Jerry Callahan's last shows, so I'm honored to have been a part of it. And I said something to Jerry and Alex, and they agreed with me. I said, you know, the Major League Baseball All-Star game was the night before. It was on a Tuesday night. And I said, Megan Rapinoe is more famous than any of the players in last night's game. That's including the reigning MVPs, Mookie Betts and Christian Yelich. That's including, you're looking at Mike Trout. Bryce Harper wasn't even in the game. So, and anybody else you want to pick in baseball that was there or wasn't there, she's more famous than anybody. And coming off the United States Women's Soccer World Cup title, second time that's been done since Germany did it with women. So U.S. going back-to-back, congratulations to them. They did it last Sunday. But therein lies the problem. And Tony Clark, the MLBPA executive director, came out this week and talked about Mookie Betts and that he should be a household name. And he put it all on the doorstep of the commissioner, Rob Manfred. Tony Clark said, quote, Mookie should be a household name. Mookie should be a one-name guy. Part of the conversation with transcendent stars like Messi. The gentleman who comes up next, meaning Manfred, who was probably coming on to do this media tour, would probably be in a good position to tell you how to fix it. End quote. So Rob Manfred has come out and he said something about Mookie Betts. And Nick, I didn't tell you this before the show, but if we can get the Rob Manfred sound of him coming out and saying that he offered Mookie to be part of, like, every MLB player has this website they can go to where they can upload their highlights and give a personal message to everyone to market themselves, and Mookie decided not to do it. Okay, so you can find that. It's in there somewhere. But, yes, Mookie is to blame, like Manfred. Mookie, for lack of a better term, okay, we got it. Here we go. Let's hear it.
We accept, you know, responsibility for marketing our stars as aggressively as possible. Mookie was invited to be in the Let the Kids Play commercial, and for whatever set of reasons, it didn't work out. We see him as a very, very marketable player. We're working hard on this issue. I understand, you know, some people think we should do better sometimes, but it is something that's a major focus for us. And we do, in general, get really good cooperation from our players.
So, wow. The commissioner just put that on Mookie Betts right there. Now, let's just say one thing about Mookie. He's a great baseball player, not having a great year. He's inconsistent. Great year, down year, great year, down year. This is a down year for Mookie. But, yes, I will give the commissioner credit that, like, in terms of, you know, he's tried to put Mookie in a position, but one commercial, Let the Kids Play, it's not enough. You know, Mookie, he's a bowler. That's his big thing, which he enjoys, and he's great at it, which is fine. It, again, it's not going to get people to watch baseball more. Mike Trout signed a 12-year, $430 million extension. Just under half a billion. And Mike Trout, he's as boring as the day is long. And so is Mookie Betts, and so is Christian Yelich. The list goes on and on. You just name me a player. There's not many or any big poppies left in baseball. The guys that just exude confidence. Big Poppy did this thing. I remember back in the day when he was on the streets in New York and he was just going up to, he was wearing his Red Sox uniform and he was going up to people just asking if they wanted a hug. That's, you know, Big Poppy got it. He got it. He understood if, you know, and the great players make money through their athletic prowess and uber talent on the field. The smart players make more money and increase their Q rating, aka their star power, by doing it off the field, off the court, off the ice. And right now, for Major League Baseball, when you have a guy like Mike Trout who's making a guaranteed contract just by signing that invaluable John Hancock on the dotted line, $430 million, folks, I will tell you, there's a guy right now who hasn't played a single second in his chosen sport in a regular season game yet. Hasn't won an MVP, scoring title, rookie of the year. He hasn't done anything in the regular season. Even his teammate at his college has not done anything yet. But I can tell you, more people know Zion Williamson, who was the number one pick in the NBA draft last month, than they do anybody in baseball. And when Tony Clark saying, quote, Mookie should be a one-name guy, guess what, Tony? Zion is a one-name guy, and so was his college teammate at Duke, R.J. Barrett. Now, I know R.J. Barrett went to the Knicks, so yes, he's more recognizable than Mookie Betts, but Zion Williamson, who's only been marketed by ESPN and CBS. That's it. Just them. Already more popular than everybody in Major League Baseball. And he's more marketable. And he is popular with, he is a kid. He just turned 19 last week. Might have been this week. I think it was this week, actually. It was just his 19th birthday. RJ Barrett turned 19 a few weeks ago. Two 19-year-old kids who haven't played a single minute or second in the NBA already supersede anybody you will see in Major League Baseball, including tonight's game. The Dodgers and Red Sox, a rematch of the World Series. Think about that. So you got the Red Sox who won the World Series last year in five games, and then you have the Dodgers who have lost in back-to-back World Series to the Astros and Red Sox, and Zion Williamson is, I would say, unequivocally and incontrovertibly more popular than Chris Sale, David Price, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Clayton Kershaw, Cody Bellinger. The list goes on and on. Hyun-Jin Ryu. It doesn't matter. Kenley Jansen, all of them combined. That's a baseball problem. That's not a Red Sox problem. That's an MLB problem. Because MLB's product, for whatever reason, doesn't resonate with kids. It doesn't resonate with the youth of America, for whatever reason, because the game, perhaps, is... It's what baseball to young kids is trying to explain into the millennials what AM radio is. Huh? What's AM radio? I don't know what that is. I know what, you know, FM radio is. I grew up on it. I know what satellite radio is. That's been around for over 20 something years. I know what that is. What's AM radio? That's what it's like to try to explain baseball to the younger generation. They don't get it. They don't get it. And I'll tell you this, B.I., you're the commissioner of Major League Baseball. You're going to role play. And I'm going to be that customer who's sitting there on the fence. And I'm 13 years old. I'm in the 7th or 8th grade. I'm in middle school. And I love e-games. And I love to play Xbox One, PlayStation, and I love UFC. I love Tom Brady and the Patriots, but I just can't get into baseball. Convince me. Tell me what Rob Manfred needs to do to market the sport to young kids, because the NBA skews younger to their demo every single year. That's what the NBA does. You look at the numbers, the NBA. Now, just to let you know, on a national standpoint, and we got these numbers this week, that Major League Baseball, listen to this, the highest rated game on ESPN this year wasn't Red Sox Yankees. It was Vanderbilt Michigan in their finale of Game 3 of the College World Series. That outrated the premier rivalry, not only in MLB history, but arguably sports history. Red Sox versus Yankees. So Red Sox-Yankees came in at number two, and then Vanderbilt-Michigan game two came in at number three, and Vanderbilt-Michigan game one came in at number four. So college baseball ranked above three of the top four rated broadcasts on ESPN this year. The fifth rated was Braves-Phillies, which was opening day back on March 31st, and then Cubs-Dodgers last month. That's not good. We're not talking college football here. Alabama-Clemson, SEC-ACC. You know, we're not talking, you know, Notre Dame versus Miami. Catholics versus convicts. We're not talking that. We're talking college baseball. Ping, ping, ping. Aluminum bats. Outrated Red Sox Yankees. That's a problem, Rob Manfred. That is a problem. And Red Sox Yankees, I might add, on a Sunday night. which is the Sunday night game of the week, A-Rod and ESPN, you know, 2 hour or 1 hour pregame, doing everything they can. Therein lies the issue with Major League Baseball right now. And I'm asking you, if you're a diehard baseball fan, and I know that we live in a diehard baseball town, Boston, in a diehard baseball region. But Boston, just like Chicago and St. Louis, is an anomaly. We are the exception to the rule here. We do not stand for most cities in the country who look at baseball and they say, eh, yeah, I loved it growing off, comma, but it's not as good as it was when I, you know, was growing up.
And Lou, the game's in trouble.
Lou, the game is in trouble, Big O. It's in major trouble. And you can sit here and be the biggest baseball homer, Lou Maloney, Rob Bradford. You could be the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, Tony Clark. The game is in trouble. If you can't market Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's probably the most famous player in baseball right now just because he does things. You know, he's on Head and Shoulders commercials. He's, you know, I mean, I give Mike Trout credit. He did a commercial with Andrew Luck. It was kind of funny. They were doing this disco thing. Not enough. It's just not enough. You got to resonate with the young kids. And I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give Wiggy some credit. Baseball doesn't have swag. Okay? And I know this because there's a t-shirt that came out like a decade ago that former National League MVP Ryan Braun would always like to wear, who I went to school with at the University of Miami. The "you invented swagger."
It's the drip.
Yes. Baseball doesn't have that swagger. It doesn't have that cachet. Like, I'll watch the Red Sox Dodgers tonight because, yeah, I want to. I'm interested in that. But I can tell you right now, if it was the Braves Dodgers or the Cubs Dodgers like a few weeks ago, I'm not watching. I don't care. But I can tell you this right now. If the Sunday night football game of the week was Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, I'm talking about in football. I'm talking about NFL now. If it was Cardinals versus Bengals, I'm all in. I want to see Kyler Murray. There's another example. Boom. Kyler Murray, who is probably already more famous. I don't know about Kyler Murray, but he's Zion for sure. RJ Barrett for sure. Kyler Murray, though, probably just about as famous as Mike Trout right now. Because the NFL and the draft is a huge deal. And therein lies, and I want you to convince me as if I'm role-playing as a 13-year-old middle schooler. Convince me why I should watch baseball. You're the commissioner of baseball. You're in charge of everything. Convince me why as a 13-year-old, and sometimes people say my mind is like a 13-year-old, so I'll take that, why I should be interested in Cubs-Dodgers, Braves-Astros. Tell me why. Forget about Red Sox, Yankees. We're going to be interested in all that. Or Red Sox, anybody we're interested in. I'm talking about the rest of the sport. 617-779-7937. I want nothing but your phone calls next. Load them up.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Oh, I love the Killers. One of my favorite groups, man. Seen them in concert three times. Last time I saw them was at Mohegan Sun. They are one of the best live concert bands you will ever see in your life. I'm serious. And I've seen The Who. I've seen The Stones. They are phenomenal. Right to your phone calls without further ado. 617-779-7937. Scott in a car. What's up, Scott?
Hey, good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
You know, this is a subject that's very much on my mind as a baseball fan. The game, follow the Sox for a lifetime. You know, I can tell you the stats of the cleanup hitters today as I could 30 years ago. Obviously have some thoughts on what could move the game along, from keeping the guys from stepping out of the batter's box to pitch clocks to, you know, the time it takes to change over a pitcher. I think that at the heart and soul of it for me is the watered down talent, the gigantic league, and the mediocre talent that these teams parade out night after night, and the lack of parity between the teams. I mean, it's the same six teams year after year as a general rule, and these other markets just put out minor league teams, and I don't know who would be interested in that. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, so you're saying like the minor leagues is that like you just, you know, the one of the things I will say, Scott, which the baseball will never be able to do this, is that like a lot of kids get drafted out of high school and then they go in the farm system and then you don't really get a chance. So it's not like you get to see Kyler Murray for 2 or 3 years or Tua Tagovailoa or Deshaun Watson or Andrew Luck. You get to see these guys and get used to these guys. Even Zion, even though he's a one-and-doner, you get to see him for a year and say, wow, like, look at this guy. It's a one guy, but you get to see him for 1 year and see that, hey, man, this guy's really good. And I don't really, that one I can't say is baseball's fault just because nobody really cares about college baseball, Scott, unless it gets to the College World Series. And even then, I'm sure that rating they did on ESPN was primarily, you know, Vanderbilt and Michigan fans, or, you know, it has to get to the College World Series title game for people to truly love, you know, watching college baseball will never move the needle. It's just one of those things. I don't even know before the College World Series where you can find it. I guess you can find it on the SEC Network or ACC Network.
Yeah, I guess just the final comment for me is the quality of so many of the teams is so bad. And the pennant races really aren't there except for a very few teams. And the perennial bottom dwellers are bottom dwellers year after year after year. And it's just hard to get excited going into the season, I think, knowing the same five teams are going to be vying for the same five spots. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah, and the one thing about the, like, one year ago, from today, right now. So what's today? July 14th. The Toronto Raptors are coming off getting swept by LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. Whoever would have thought that team would win the NBA title less than a year later? Not me. Even after they got Kawhi Leonard, I said, okay. You know, they gave up DeMar DeRozan, but Kawhi is certainly a much better player. I didn't think they'd win the NBA title, certainly not beat Golden State. Now, obviously, there were some circumstances that presented themselves that, you know, were to the advantage of Toronto, i.e. Kevin Durant getting hurt against Houston, not playing against Portland, then trying to come back in the finals, and then, you know, he just couldn't go. He tore his Achilles. But the NBA and the NFL, every year, the only constant you've had in the last 5 years is that the Patriots have been in the Super Bowl 4 of the last 5 years. Other than that, well, the Patriots have won 3 out of 5, but for the most part, the NFL, one of their things going back to the days of Paul Tagliabue and Roger Goodell, the NFL prides itself on having new teams. And I believe over half of the teams in the NFL playoffs this year were new from the year prior to that. So the year prior to that, you had Jacksonville. Remember that? They weren't in it this year. You know, you had the Chargers in it this year. You had like, I believe, half of the teams who made the playoffs this year in the NFL were all new from the year before. Parity. 617-779-7937. Justin's up next in the great state of Rhode Island. Justin, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, bud.
Hey, so baseball's out of luck, man. I mean, basketball, like, they have it set up, like, it's like the draft. You get excited for the beginning of the year. You get to see these new guys coming. And they, even for, like, the pre-draft, they do the lottery. That was exciting because you don't know, the Lakers were in it, the Knicks were in it, like, all the implications. And then New Orleans gets it, and then they get Zion. Like, they move all their big players. It's crazy, man. It's like you can't keep up with it.
No.
It's a slow sport, you know. It's slow, and it's meant to be slow. You know, it was built to be long-lasting, I guess, and it's just not for this age anymore.
No, no, Justin, and you mentioned it, and listen, like, just to use a Jaws reference here, since we're in the summer and there's great whites swimming all over the beaches on Cape Cod, especially in Wellfleet, stay away. But just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, when the dust had settled, after Kawhi Leonard and Paul George go to the Clippers late last Friday night, what happens? This week,
Russell Westbrook
reunites with James Harden in Houston. And once again, the NBA steals the spotlight.
OKC, like, they were talking about trading Chris Paul right after that. Like, it's just, I was 12 in 2000. Like, I loved the Red Sox, the Yankees, all of that. It was amazing. I love baseball, too. I used to play it all the time. But it's just entertainment value isn't the same for what these other sports are doing. The NFL, obviously, is the
best. So Justin, we all know that. Now, explain to me, like I said before, do this for me and, like, tell me how, like, baseball, pretend you're the commissioner, Rob Manfred. What do you do to market it to young kids?
I mean, I don't know if there's really something, one thing you can do, but one thing is you can bring up the level, take away those unwritten rules, like the whole, I got to hit you if you pimp a home run. Like, kids like to see that stuff.
And you know what, like, another thing, too? I'm with that. By the way, good stuff, Justin. That's what I like to hear. See, you gave it exactly. These unwritten codes in baseball, you can't bat flip. Screw you. If a guy wants to bat flip, just do it. Who cares? It's not showing up and... You know, and I know Eck a couple of weeks ago, I love Dennis Eckersley, you know, former colleague of mine at Nesson, but, like, Eck used to do that crap all the time when he was with Oakland with his hips, and he would, you know, point right at the catcher when he get a strikeout. So who cares if Marcus Stroman wants to do that? Like, when baseball, oh, you can't do that. You can't flip the bat. Why not?
Put a dent in the skull.
Why not? Do you see what guys do after they dunk the basketball? Is that showing up the other team? Sure, but then stop him the next time he comes down through the lane. Don't go with some antiquated, archaic code of baseball that nobody under the age of 48 years old has any idea what you're talking about. What do you mean unwritten code? What is that? Tradition is the reason why you're in the spot you're in. You know, and, like, kudos to the NFL. We all know the most egregious pass interference call that did not get flagged was in the NFC Championship game between New Orleans and the Rams on Nickell Robey-Coleman. And so what did the NFL do this year? Now coaches can challenge non-PI calls or PI calls if they think it wasn't a PI call. Now they have the ability. So NFL, just a slight little tweak. Should have done it from Jump Street. Cost the Saints, cost us seeing Brady versus Breeze in an all-time great Super Bowl, but at least the NFL, when the owners and the commissioner get together at their five-star resort, like the Breakers in Palm Beach or wherever, they get a chance to say, all right, let's fix that right away. Boom. Now coaches can challenge non-PI calls because our refs are blind and stupid like they were in the NFC title game. Rob Manfred had a chance to implement a pitch clock this year, and he didn't need Tony Clark and the MLBPA union, which is the strongest union in the world. He didn't need their approval. He didn't need it. And for some reason, it precluded him from doing the right thing. And to quote the great Vince Kennedy McMahon, what's best for business. They didn't do what's best for business. What's best for business is implementing a pitch clock. Is that going to fix the game? No, but at least it speeds it up a little bit so you can't have a human rain delay like E-Rod or David Price taking forever on the mound. And I don't care if Clayton Kershaw and David Price don't like it. Boo freaking who? You guys are making over $30 million a year. You know, if you don't like it, too bad. Go find something else that's going to pay you $30 million a year to do. Oh, you get a little inconvenience. You got to go hurry up between pitches. Too bad. Too bad. Let's go to David in the car, who's up next. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
so this is my thing. The last time I can think of a baseball player who was, like, the number one in pop culture with Ken Griffey Jr., and that was 25 years ago. So it's been like 25 years since there's been a baseball player who was, I don't know what you call it, marketable, or everybody wanted to be like him. So, I don't know, I look at like Toronto, and as much as annoying as Drake was, maybe
baseball
needs to pay celebrities to start showing up.
Yes.
All these people that want to take selfies, maybe they want to go to the game and at least, you know, then they'll start going and say, hey, look who I saw, look who I saw. But right now, like baseball parks, people aren't even paying attention to the game. I mean, I went to the game 3 weeks ago, everybody's taking a selfie of a stadium and not the game. So they need to figure, that's the only thing I could say, they need to start maybe figuring out a way to market these guys with celebrities. Because right now, nobody outside of the baseball world cares about these athletes. The average person walking down the street, they couldn't name you the top 10 baseball players. And when I was a kid, everybody knew them.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, hey, David, to quote the late, great Burt Sugar, who was a boxing guy, he would say this about boxers. I'll say this about Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich isn't even a household name in his own household. He isn't.
Yeah, I mean,
who in the world? Now, I know what he looks like because I remember him with the Marlins, but like, you know, and I watch a lot of baseball, so, but who would know who Christian Yelich is? If you saw Christian Yelich at like somewhere on the street, you would think that he's, I don't know, he works at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He's an insurance salesman.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I went down to the DR and I went to see a winter ball game with some friends. They took me to it. You should see the way the game is down there. I mean, it's like a party. People are jumping up and down. They have cheerleaders. It's fun. I mean, it is just fun. Baseball right now, it's not fun. I mean, for a fan to go and say that it's fun, it really isn't. Like, I wish anybody could see that the way it was down there. I mean, right now, baseball, they need to have all these other things about speeding up the game. Yes, I understand. You know, I think people shouldn't be able to call timeout after they slide into second base, personally. But whatever you want to say, they need to just figure out how to get the crowd in the stadium just having fun. Because right now, you're just sitting there watching home runs and strikeouts. Nobody's having fun.
I know. They're not putting the ball in play. And you were talking about Ken Griffey Jr. Every year for the last decade plus, the quotient of African-American players in baseball goes down exponentially. It's at an all-time low this year. Every single year, it continues to get lower and lower and lower. I grew up on Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds and Ricky Henderson and Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden. And you know, I remember Jim Rice towards the end of his career. That's what I remember, okay? You know, like Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden, yes, say what you want for all their flaws and this, that, and the other, but they were marketable. Now, they had some things off the field, that demons that they couldn't get a hold of, and Dwight Gooden, unfortunately, got arrested, we found out last month in New Jersey, because he still can't stay off that powdered substance. But you knew who these guys were. These guys were unbelievable. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. You know, before Big Poppy, there was the Big Hurt. You know, you don't have a guy with the charisma and the star appeal of Big Poppy. Big Poppy was that dude. He was that dude. So I'm going to give you something coming up next from my standpoint, which Rob Manfred will do, which will never be done. But if baseball wanted to make the sport more interesting, I'm going to give you three words and I'm going to tell you what's it about. Less is more. I'll tell you what I mean next and get your phone call, 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Back on the Mark James Experience, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Corey in Rhode Island's up next. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, man? Dude, I'm telling you, baseball is dead, and there is nothing you could do about it. It's just too boring. If you put a clock on it, it doesn't matter because it's not like everything happens every pitch. The equivalent to football is like if they threw 50 incomplete passes in a row, and then once every 50 passes, they threw a complete pass. It's just too boring. As far as the defensive side of the ball, they're just standing out there half the time. They're not doing anything. So when people talk about personality, what do you want? You want Mookie Betts making balloon animals in the outfield? It makes no sense on that solution. Humans have evolved past baseball. We get too bored too easily. So the only thing I could do is, if I wanted to pitch this as a commissioner, I'd say, are you too stressed out in life? Do you need 4 hours of doing nothing? Watch a baseball game. It'll totally relax you because nothing will happen. It makes no sense. And I'll be honest, I hate listening to it on the radio. It tells me that this
radio... All right, cool. Okay, Corey, how old are you?
I'm 27.
See, so you're the target demo. You're the target demo that baseball's trying to get. So let me ask you this. Does any of your friends like it?
No, and it's tough because I've talked about this on the radio before, and people say, why is it so boring? And I say, I can't even talk to any of my coworkers about it. No one watches it. And like you said earlier in the show, I'd rather watch a Bengals game than almost any baseball game.
No, if it's not Red Sox-Yankees, I would watch the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Arizona Cardinals. I'd rather see, the redhead Andy Dalton versus Kyler Murray. I want to see how that game would be before Dodgers versus Cubs, which could be the preview of the National League Championship Series.
No, I'm getting very close to watching that game over a Red Sox-Yankees game. That's where I'm getting.
Well,
and honestly, I'm serious. And I'll tell you what, another caller talked about the draft. The reason why the draft and free agency and trade and none of that stuff happens is because one player can't impact a baseball team, and that's why it's dead. Mike Trout has been in the bottom of the West forever. Like, as opposed to, like, Kawhi Leonard moving, that changes the NBA, if Mike Trout got traded to a team that was middle of the road, he doesn't make them a contender. They still stink.
Interesting point. Appreciate the call. Mike's up next in Ludlow. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mark. So, short and simple, I just want to say, yes, we know baseball can be boring. We know baseball can be long, but I watch baseball for those moonshot home runs, those majestic home runs, the double plays, the stolen bases, those phenomenal catches by JBJ. I mean, yeah, we're going to be a... Honestly, if I was listening to this right now, I wouldn't want to watch baseball, but I love baseball.
I understand. And I guess it's unfair because you can't compare it to the greatest athletes in the world in the NBA. You can't compare it to Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Steph.
Not.
Yeah, you can't. And you can't compare it to football because football, you have ruthless aggression, action. You have, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is. So it's tough to compare. I guess
have to compare it, though?
No, you don't have to compare it. No, you don't have to because it's incomparable. You got to modernize the game, though, Mike. How do you modernize the game?
I hate to say it, but the failed commissioner, he shouldn't have gone to the union. He should have just put a pitch clock and done it.
But that's just a symptom. That doesn't solve the problem. That's fine.
Personally, I have no other problems with baseball. I mean, everybody's saying the pitch clock, but besides pitch clock, I don't know what else is the problem. I love baseball. If you don't, you don't have to watch it, but okay. Baseball has been here. It's an American sport. If you don't like it, get out.
Yeah, well, it is America's favorite pastime. Steve and Bill Ricca is up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Mark, can I change my take? College students probably get mad, but just to fit the conversation. Listen, they definitely have to flaunt their skills a little bit more. We know that. They have to get a little bit more jambalaya out there, right? But listen, there is no doubt about it. The strike zone is way too small. Let me explain what it would do. But it's like the Little League World Series. It will definitely speed things up. It will get the action going, swinging the bats. And the pitch clock with it, yeah, the pitch clock hurts the pitcher, but the pitcher makes out with the bigger strike zone. On top of that, when a batter is up there and he has a bigger strike zone and there could be a problem, he might have a little bit of an argument. He might have an attitude next time he gets up. I mean, you don't want fights, of course, but he has an attitude up there. He has, you know, because the last time he was up, there was, you know, just he didn't like the call, whatever. And it just totally compounds and it changes the whole makeup of the game. The bigger strike zone, no doubt, would change the game. And it won't, like, it's not changing the amount of games. It's not doing like a two ball, whatever it is, changing the game drastically. It's just a small change. Maybe one ball wide on each side of the plate, maybe a couple baseballs taller. And that's about it.
Okay. It's some interesting points. You know, baseball, I felt as though, I don't know if they've been juiced all season. I can tell you, Steve, I felt a couple weeks ago when the Red Sox-Yankees were in London, baseball juiced those balls. They scored 50 runs in two games combined.
I could debunk that. How come the baseballs are going the same distance from the same hitters every year. And they say that the home runs are going up every year. That's only going up one home run per person for like 12 people on a team. So 12 people on a team.
But the baseball as a whole, Steve, is on pace to hit 500 more home runs than they did in any season prior to this. They're for an all-time high. And yet the popularity is at an all-time low. Dan in Cranston's up next. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up? I'll make it quick.
By the way, Dan, this is a funny question, so I don't expect you to know this guy. Do you know Ralph in Cranston who calls in here all the time or no?
Just from the radio, I
okay,
do.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if you guys knew each other. I just wanted to connect you guys, but you don't know. Fair enough. Okay.
Where was I? All right, two things. Real quick, on the state of baseball, we can all nickel and dime it and everything, but basically analytics specialists and everything, that's what's killing the game. You know, there's just too much stuff going on to face one batter. If they're going to do something, if a guy comes in to pitch, he doesn't come in to pitch one batter. He's got to face at least three. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just too many changes in the game.
Yes, very much.
The real problems are. And then starters that go five innings. You never used to see that. That's the biggest problem.
By the way, I got to give credit. Tell me what you think about this, Dan. Someone texted in the text line from 978. Do you think a salary cap in baseball would even teams out, therefore make it more interesting? And I'll tell you something. That's a great text. Yes, I do. I think having a salary cap so everybody is at a level playing field would make it much more interesting. Now, good luck with that happening with the MLB Players Association, the strongest union in the world. Good luck getting that thing implemented. You got a better chance of, the president of the United States becoming a liberal before that happens.
And real quick, I'm in the minority on this, but look, I'm a realist too. They've won the division 3 years in a row. They just won the World Series. I don't expect them to win. I know they have a huge payroll, but you know what? Start selling off some pieces and just
see. I want to get into that next too, Dan. I'm glad you brought that up. They acquired Andrew Kashner yesterday as a starter, but they're moving Nathan Eovaldi to the bullpen. I'm in sell mode, and I don't know if Dombrowski, because he maybe feels a little pressure because he didn't come into this season with a closer. So if you're the Red Sox, would you trade JD Martinez and Mookie Betts?
Mookie, but yes, because you start building around Bogaerts. You've already signed. It looks like you got the harness now of Chris Sale's contract on you, so you can't sign everybody. So to me, I would. Your biggest chips are Martinez and Betts.
Trade them.
Especially now.
Trade them now.
You get a boatload return.
Yep.
And no harm, no foul. I think the people will take it because, like I said, they just won the World Series and life goes on.
Yeah, right? Good phone call, Dan. You're trading two MVP candidates, one of them who did win the MVP and another who probably arguably could have last year in JD Martinez. And Mookie, you have under control for another season. So you're not just getting a rental for a few months like you would with JD Martinez. Wants to win every year, and that's fine. The Red Sox, you spent over nearly a quarter of $1 billion. You should want to win every year. And you should win almost every year. Doesn't always work that way. The Dodgers spent more last year than the Red Sox, and they've lost back-to-back World Series. I am selling. And your thoughts on that, if you're Dave Dombrowski, buy, sell, or hold? 617-779-7937. I'm not buying. I can tell you that much. I mean, you acquired Andrew Kashner because I don't get this. You acquired Andrew Kashner because your starting pitching sucks. Not as bad as the bullpen, so now you're going to move a starter to the bullpen because the bullpen blows. And Nathan Eovaldi, who has zero saves in his career. So if I'm the Red Sox, I am selling. And we'll find out over the course of the next few weeks, after this series with the Dodgers, they got the Rays and the Yankees coming up, what they should do. Nothing but your phone calls next, 617-779-7937. And yes, in case you missed it, Friday, I was on with Glenn Ordway and Wiggy in afternoons. Yesterday, I was on with Andy Hart. I will obviously, probably the top of next hour, give my thoughts on Jerry Callahan. And you can follow me on Twitter. I've already tweeted how much he meant to me and, obviously WEI, and not just me and WEI, but the entire Boston market. And I don't mean the Boston market. We can get a quarter chicken dark. I mean the entire Boston media market and all of New England and really talk radio in general. But yes, I will get to that as well. Nothing but your phone calls coming up 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.